T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The best hour of Show and Vern. I am Rob the Show Hughley. This is Joshua Lamont Vern, your Steve Serta that's producing this bad boy. That was a solid update. All right, we're out of the gates.
Thankfully, they don't put the updates on the podcast, so
good Lord, we're gonna worry about that. It was really good until you gave that pointless thing about the Rams.
Also, Ian Rappaport says the Raiders have moved quarterback Dwayne Haskins up their draft board. Not to the top.
All right, let's do it.
Up,
man.
At least a couple of notches.
We got a big hour here. We're going to get back
around.
On track. Right? We can turn this thing around. We can turn it around. I believe in you, Steve.
Oh, I think we just cut Steve out for this hour.
Yeah, I really got to focus on Steve's 32. I got a long way to go.
Right, let's do it. Right, let's do it. We're turning around. Right. Leadership is here as the clear leader of this show. I will pick this up. Let's do this. You get the feeling some people around here, and I'm wondering, people are listening in Kansas City. Now that you've gotten Tyrann Mathieu and you filled a void at safety that was really bad, you got Breshad Breeland, or some people call him Breshad Breeland. You got him as another corner. Now you're rolling with Kendall Fuller, and you're rolling with Chuff Javier Ward, and now Breeland. And then you've also upgraded in a major way with Sam Madison, and you're able to get Emmett Thomas the hell out of there. And Bob Sutton's gone, and you bring in Stevie Spags. You bring in Frank Clark earlier this week and fill the void as a pass rusher that you need.
Honestly, the Emmett Thomas stuff's starting to piss me off too. Like, leave that beautiful man alone. That is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he is a beautiful man, not a beautiful coach.
Yeah.
Much upgrade.
You know,
it's
whatever,
not just him.
Whatever.
You know it's the truth. But everything that they have been able to do, they've seemed to turn around their defense. I wonder how many people feel like they can take a deep breath now with the draft.
Oh, I do.
That the draft is not as important. You do? You feel like you can take a deep breath in the draft
it's not as vital? It's impossible not to. It's tough not to. Now, I understand that you need to hit on your draft picks when you are staring down the barrel of a $200 million contract for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
When you have a franchise quarterback, you need to hit on these draft picks.
Come on.
But with everything that they've done this offseason, bringing in Frank and bringing in Honey Badger, they have acknowledged, in my opinion, the holes that we were so very concerned about heading into the offseason. Mm. That, yeah, I head into tonight's draft looking at it as if I would love a starter, but I'm not in desperate need of a starter for the 2019 season.
It's still a big draft, though.
All drafts are big, Ron.
It's still really big even to this, because you, like, not just with the staring down
Ron,
the barrel.
A week ago, they needed a playmaker. They needed a difference maker out of this draft. They brought in Frank Clark. We now have, the Chiefs now have 3 playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. I believe they will have Tyreek for a majority of the season.
But you do believe
you got Travis Kelce and you have Patrick Mahomes. You are a better team right now than the one that walked off the field against the New England Patriots. So if you're already better than a team that went to the AFC title game last year, I have a tough time looking at tonight's draft and feeling nervous about it. I'm more hopeful, more excited, but there's not that nervous feeling of, oh my God, we better find someone that can help us get over the hump next year. Now, I understand the importance of a draft when you have Super Bowl aspirations for
the
next
decade.
That's the key.
That's the key. The Super Bowl aspirations, not even just the next decade, but for next year. And I think it is key, like at the cornerback position, I think there is a thought of maybe we need to have something there as an upgrade. If you can get better than Tre'Varius Ward, if you can get a starter there, I still think that is a big key there. Maybe your even your other safety if you don't feel confident there. I think that secondary is not complete yet, especially if you have Super Bowl aspirations. And then we don't know what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill. I thought and pushed a thought and theory that they may need another playmaker offensively because they were different once they lost Kareem Hunt and they had less of a playmaker. I'm not saying it necessarily has to be a running back, but another playmaker, whether you pair a second tight end with Travis Kelce, some other playmaker. And now you could be looking at an extended period of time without your top gun. And to be thinking there's a potential extended period of time of just really your big weapons of Travis Kelce and Tenderfoot.
Well, Tenderfoot's going to be huge.
Needed. And you know about Tenderfoot. That's his nickname. You know about it. So I do think it's not just one to sit back and just, whoo, all right, this draft is just house money, baby. No, you got to get some stuff done.
Protein House E with a Purpose text line 69306. Listener 40 says we need one more pass rusher. Listener 22 says we still need depth. If these free agents that we brought in have injuries, you're going to need that depth.
Yeah, those are moves you're talking about right there, that there's not a
right.
depth and stuff like that or –
But you'll agree that, I mean, we all agree that the draft is vital to the long-term viability of this team winning a Super Bowl over the next few seasons. But I look at this draft, I look at this draft and say, man, if someone that they select tonight or tomorrow, any time over the next 3 days, if they make a big impact in 2019, man, that will be a pleasant surprise. But I'm not going into the draft desperate for it. And I was desperate for it about a week ago. Prior to the Frank Clark trade, I was desperate.
It's not to the same degree as – no, yeah, it's not to the same degree as that. But although I thought they weren't going to fill the void of needing of a pass rusher through the draft anyhow. I wasn't thinking that there was going to be somebody in the draft that would give you the production you need. I felt like that was going to have to happen from the outside anyhow.
But even a okay, then let me put it this way. Then even a starter. You know, I'll look at last year's draft, right? No one really jumped out to you. No one really did anything spectacular. But as Therese tells us a lot, rookies normally stink. The big jump is between year one and year two. How I feel now, heading into this draft, after the acquisition of Frank Clark, is I'm okay watching them grow over the course of the season. I'm not putting any pressure on whoever they draft in the second round, whoever they draft over the course of these next 3 days. I'm not putting pressure on them to be more than what Breland and Dorian O'Daniel, than what that rookie class was last year. Like that rookie class last year, I think we shined a light on them because they were needed. That defense needed them. I don't look at this draft class as if, man, we can't have you learn. We need you to get it right out of the gate.
Yeah, I think potentially in the secondary there is a need. And I think we're growing closer to a point because if Ty is going 8 games or if something happens –
But what are we talking about? You're going to need a receiver better than DeMarcus Robinson. You're going to need a cornerback better than Tre'Varius Ward. Where are we looking at on the depth chart?
Yeah, Ward, yeah, better than potentially a starter in the secondary, whether that's safety or corner. And then I just another playmaker of some sort, a back, a tight end, somebody else that can be a threat. Because to sit there with potentially Sammy Watkins, who has a propensity to get injured, and – then after that, from the receiving core, it's him, it's DeMarcus. You're starting the receiving core this year, Sammy, DeMarcus Robinson, and who, Garrett Dieter? Or is there
– no, Garrett can't be the three. What about that
– Oh, he can.
Who's
– Byron Pringle.
Yeah, they love
But he
Pringle.
Wasn't on the roster. I mean, from last year, I mean, Chris Connolly's gone. Like, right, that's where your starting receivers are right now. And Garrett Dieter.
Gonna need that second tight end.
And the second tight end because the, you know, the weed man's gone.
Listener 578, let's make it easy, guys. What do we not need? I'll say quarterback. Quarterback and kicking and punting and stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
But anything else, I'll take anything in this draft. I mean, you have to select a cornerback, obviously. I'm always taking a flyer on a cornerback. But outside of quarterback, and we're not drafted punters, but anything else to me, and I've said this quite a bit, I'm going to have a difficult time being disappointed in any sort of selection unless they go throughout the draft and don't bring in a cornerback.
Can I segue here? You brought this up to me, the Nick Bosa story.
Yeah. Nick Bosa, who scrubbed his Twitter of his political thoughts, his support of the president, his calling Colin Kaepernick a clown. He scrubbed all of that from his Twitter because he was worried that he might end up going to San Francisco and the people in San Francisco would frown on his feelings towards the president and his feelings towards Colin Kaepernick.
I think Nick Bosa is the best player in the draft. And I don't like where that is going. Although I will sit here, and if you've listened to me, you know this. I don't agree with any of his stance. I don't agree with his views politically. I don't agree with his stance with Kaepernick. I don't think that he should have to scrub this thing. This is not like any type of situation like Josh Hader with Milwaukee.
He shouldn't have to, but I'm. But
I get where he is. I get why his team and his agent and when his family said that's something you should do. But that is I don't like that slope, because if Josh Rosen or Kyler Murray or whoever were supporters of Barack Obama or supporters of Colin Kaepernick, I think it would be insane that they have to or feel like they should have to erase stuff. This isn't a Dante DiVincenzo stuff where he had used the N-word or used really sexually lewd comments and tweets. This was just him. I support the president, which many people did because right. He's the president.
Right.
And his views and opinion on Colin Kaepernick. That there was nothing there to we're playing the slope there.
Yeah, that's the society that we live in.
True.
Now. Where, and it lends itself to those that cry about a leftist agenda in the media, there are a lot of people in the NFL that support our president. There are a lot of people in the NFL that think what Colin Kaepernick did was wrong or would call him a clown. It's not as if Nick Bosa is going to walk into a locker room and everyone disagrees with him. Man, this is...
I just don't like that place. I
the
know
locker
said,
room is
right.
A reflection of this country. It's probably split 50-50.
You're right.
60-40.
That's where we are, but that's it. Like, come on, man. And it was probably something that was even brought to him, I would imagine, right?
You know I get in trouble when I start crushing liberals, but this is the stuff that annoys me with... Even though I'm like-minded with them most of the time... But to be picking on a kid because he supports the president, to make it seem as if you're an idiot if you disagree with my opinions, man, that's you can't have a conversation if you're telling a kid, be quiet about your feelings.
Or just the theory that it could cost you the ability to do your job or earn a living or make money if you have this type of stuff on there. That's just really annoying to me. All right, we're in Nashville. We're having a great time. We've really turned it around this last 15 minutes because Steve really didn't talk. We've really turned it around. And we're so happy to be talking about football. We wish we were talking about football, but for some reason in Kansas City, that's not the number one story. We'll get to the number one story next.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
All right, welcome back. We're live in Nashville. We are at Vamoose Lounge right here on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee. And we got a special guest, ESPN draft analyst Dan Orlovsky, former player, former quarterback in the league, has taken time out of his busy schedule to join us. We appreciate you so much, Dan. I've seen you on TV all morning, and I know you're busy, and we thank you so much for taking your time out with us.
It's my pleasure. Good to be with you guys.
All right, the big player locally here in Kansas City that people are really looking at is Drew Lock. Drew Lock, he's a Kansas City kid. He played at Missouri, put up huge numbers in the SEC. I think was probably the best quarterback in the SEC the last couple of years. What I have heard from people, and I don't see it, but I would really love it from you. I've heard from people have having thoughts that he's a reminder of Patrick Mahomes, and maybe I'm looking at something wrong, and I know you break down these quarterbacks. Is he somebody that you would compare Drew Lock to?
No.
Okay, thank you.
That's more in said in respect and admiration for Patrick Mahomes than it is a knock on Drew Lock. You know, I did Drew Lock's bowl game when it was Missouri versus Oklahoma State. I liked him going into the game. I liked him a little bit more coming out of the game. You know, one of the challenges of kind of what I have to do is, like, I just go off of tape. I don't get to spend time with these kids or get to really dive into, like, what kind of person they are, leader they are. And so what I've heard about him is, like, a dude or a guy is, like, he is a great teammate, great leader. He's got some stuff to him that quarterbacks need. Going off of tape, like, I've called Drew Lock, and I've said this for about 3 months now. He's the biggest wild card. Mm. Quarterback-wise in this draft. And the reason I say that is because there's so many things about him physically that you really like. I mean, he's a good athlete. He can change arm angles. He's very accurate. Everyone talks about the big arm. That's certainly there. But then there's a couple of things that you just don't know. Like, I think he was bottom 10 in college football this year when it comes to batted passes at the line of scrimmage. And so I go, now, people might go like, oh, that's not a big deal, but how are you bottom 10 in batted passes? Well, it's because he drops his arm down a lot, and quarterbacks usually do that because when they have smaller hands to control the ball more. Drew Lock does have a little bit of smaller hands. I'm not making hands to be a big deal, but I've got to get that question answered. Number two is I don't know what kind of brain he has because Missouri's offense did him no favors. I mean, they basically ran run-pass options or deep shots. And so there wasn't a lot of, like, does he know protection? Can he answer problems to questions? Like, I don't know what his brain is like. That's why I say he's the biggest wild card, because I do know this. He went back to Missouri last year because he knew he would struggle on the whiteboard. And so I don't know if Derek Dooley coming to Missouri changed any of that for him.
Former NFL quarterback, ESPN's Dan Orlovsky joining us here, Show and Vern on 610 Sports Radio. Obviously, any quarterback would benefit from a year on the bench, a year as the backup in the NFL, and then eventually taking over a team. But is there a quarterback or two in this year's draft that you identify as, man, he's ready to go right now, day one, put him under center?
Well, I mean, certainly Kyler Murray to Arizona is the one. Ever since Kyler Murray declared he was going to play football, I said he was going to go number one to Arizona. Now, if the Giants had the number one pick, I'd feel different. But I believe Kyler Murray, because Cliff Kingsbury being there, can go on the field and play and be one of the most electric players on the field every time he steps out there. You know, smarts-wise, I mean, people go, Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State, he's only got 13 starts. But brain-wise, he's smart enough to go and handle protections and handle coverage changes and whatnot. I always think it's a healthy place for guys to start. But the bigger question is not, is this guy ready to start? Is where he goes? Is he going to be handled the right way to start? It's so dependent on the coaching for those young kids to make sure that you don't ask him to do things he's not capable of or be somebody he's not ready to be.
Dan, I want to get your opinion on this, because coming into the draft with the Chiefs, it was thought defense. And now what is happening with Tyreek Hill, he is almost assuredly probably going to get suspended for some time. And you don't have Kareem Hunt because he has also gone to Cleveland. And now you could be starting the season with Travis Kelce and then Sammy Watkins, who could often get injured, and then DeMarcus Robinson, and then after that, it is a real struggle. And everyone respects and believes Patrick Mahomes is great because of what he put together. Is this a need for the Chiefs to get a weapon offensively with Patrick Mahomes? Or is Patrick Mahomes someone that is at a point where it's not a need, even though you're missing guys, he can just make everybody else around him better?
No, Mahomes, I believe, is a guy that showed, like, he's, you know, I said this about when Russell Wilson got paid. When you decide to pay a guy like Russell Wilson, you have to go, is this guy good enough to make up for the four or five guys that we're not going to be able to have? Is he going to make up for that? Russell, the answer to Russell Wilson is yes. After 2 years and really only 1 year playing, I believe the answer for Patrick Mahomes is yes as well. I still believe the more good players you have around quarterbacks, better. Now, the good thing for the Chiefs is they've gotten some time with Patrick Mahomes to know what kind of guys he works well with. And so it doesn't have to be the need of going and getting somebody, you know, early in that second round or something like that. But you can find good players that fit the role that you want them to have, third, fourth, fifth, sixth round. You can find good players when you have good scouts, good draft people, good general manager, which the Chiefs have in Beach. And so need, no. Want and feel like, oh, okay, this is something we've got to put a lot of attention to? Yes.
Staying with that, Ron alluded to the Tyreek Hill situation and what appears to be an inevitable suspension forthcoming. As a quarterback, what is Patrick Mahomes' role? Because that's his number one wide receiver. That's his go-to guy inside that locker room. But that's also a man that I would think some would have a difficult time respecting if he did what the DA tiptoed around yesterday. What is the role of that leader, that quarterback in the clubhouse, as far as bringing in someone like that and moving forward with the rest of the season?
Well, it's obviously a very difficult situation to be thrust into when you're 22. I don't know exactly how old Patrick is, but 22, 23, 21. Right. So it's a very difficult situation. You have to understand that everyone's a person before they are your teammates or before they are your number one receiver and whatnot. So your focus for Patrick has to be on impacting him as a person, impacting him as a father, impacting him as a decision maker, like having that positive impact on him. And then understanding and making sure that you are able to allow those things to be conversations and certainly part of our job. But at the end of the day, we have our job to go do. And that although we handle that stuff off the field, that when we do go on the field, we're doing our job and we're respectful of each other doing our job. I'm pretty outspoken with how the off-the-field stuff gets handled, and I believe that the NFL is a privilege to be in and that you just don't make quote-unquote mistakes and that the NFL should have a very hard line with a lot of things. The Tyreek Hill situation is so unique, and I think that Patrick Mahomes needs to do a really good job of, you know, being there and being a friend and in many ways being a quote-unquote mentor and a positive impact on his life off the field, but also being the, hey, I'm your quarterback, you're my receiver, let's go do our job on the field and don't allow that to affect us.
I just want to get you out on this, Dan. What are your thoughts about how the Chiefs are perceived? What are your thoughts about the decisions the Chiefs have made with now bringing in Frank Clark, now Tyreek Hill, the Kareem? Like, are you surprised that they are taking on these guys still?
No, I mean, I think it's an easy thing for us to say these guys. Organizations have to trust their culture. Organizations have to trust that their locker room is a healthy one or not healthy one or whatnot. Character matters more than anything in the NFL. But when you've got people leadership-wise from the top down that are high in character, then you are able to, I don't want to say take chances, but you're able to take calculated risks on a person here or there because you have such strong belief in your leadership, that your best players are your greatest people. And I believe that the Chiefs, in a lot of ways, when you hear about Beach or when you hear about Andy Reid or when you hear about Patrick Mahomes, you hear that. And so that carries weight. It's just like when you hear our best players are our best workers. They set the tempo for whatever it is, that the work culture, the performance culture, but it's all, they can also set the tempo for the integrity culture, if we want to call it that. And so I'm not surprised. I also understand there's a football aspect to it as well, as this is an opportunity for us to go capitalize on this window that we have for 2 more years, and let's go do it.
Dan, great stuff. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining us.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good week.
All right. All right. Good stuff. You'll be able to see him all week long on ESPN. He's
Dan Orlovsky has a beautiful head of hair, too.
That dog, doesn't he?
I'm proud of myself for not bringing it up.
Really? I am, too. I'm proud of it, because this is what I was thinking the whole time. Not anything towards you, that he has great hair.
Whatever, man. I acknowledged it, okay?
I just said you brought it up. It was good, man. I thought it was great. All right, coming up. Let's
job, sir. A way to get Dan Orlovsky.
That's right. See, I told you we were turning around this hour.
Steve, I don't want to hear from you. Don't ruin it. Please, God, don't ruin it.
I only got 12 teams left on Steve's 32. Making progress.
You ruined it.
Crushing it.
Thanks.
Sammy Coates.
I like Sammy.
We forgot about Sammy Coates.
Like Big Sam Coates.
Coming up, folks. We'll get into the top story. The top story in Kansas City, Tyreek Hill.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back in, Show and Vern. We are live here on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee. The beautiful, great people here at the Moose Lounge are taking care of us and done a wonderful job. Thank you so much for putting us up. We're having a great time. Thanks to Dan Orlovsky of ESPN for joining us. And thank you, man. Great job, Serta. We're really turning it around.
I want to thank City Rent-A-Truck for sending us to Nashville in that beautiful 2019 Expedition XLT. Find them online at cityrentatruck.com. They got 3 locations: Olathe, Midtown, just east of the plaza, and their newest location, KCI. That's where we were. That's where we were yesterday. Picked up that bad boy. Ron has completely destroyed it on the inside, just putting crumbs and cookies all over the place. So we will have to clean it up. Ron will have to clean it up. But thank you very much to City Rent-A-Truck for all the help and all the support of our draft coverage here on 610 Sports Radio.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, I'm not helping clean it up.
No, neither am I.
Steve's clean.
Unnecessary.
I agree. No, you got to vacuum that bad boy out yourself.
It's completely unnecessary.
I do have to clean all that adhesive off the window, though.
All I know is when we get back to Kansas City, I'm out. I'm going to get out of the car. You guys will clean it and wipe it down. I will get in my car and not talk to you until Monday at 10 a.m.
What is wrong with you? We just had an excellent 32 minutes. God, you're such
I'm not a grouch. I'm just saying that I have been clean, so I'm not going to take part in the cleaning.
You are the Chiefs right now. We're in a beautiful place. We're in a nice city. We're having fun.
Be careful here with what you're doing.
We should be having fun.
I put my hands on nobody.
We should be having fun.
About to put my hands on Steve.
And now. We should be having fun. We had a great.
I am having fun.
We had a great first night, and now you're trying to rip it down and rip it down, and now you're trying to drag it into a negative place for no reason. Just like we're here with the Chiefs, we're in Nashville. We should be talking about the next great player that's going to be here to help the Chiefs out. They put together a defense, but instead, the big stories of the day: Frank Clark, another guy that you bring in. Right after Tyreek Hill, another guy in this story, instead of talking about what should be the greatest time in the history of the franchise, the greatest time with Patrick Mahomes, this offense, this defense looks improved. Emmett Thomas is out of here. Bob Sutton's out of here. Like, this should be a great
time.
Man,
I wish we could get Emmett Thomas to show up.
I'd love to it. I'd tell him.
He would handle your punk ass.
Yeah, but I'd still talk. Emmett do look like he got old.
He would wipe the floor with you.
Emmett Thomas does look like he's as strong as DMX at his peak. Protein House E with a Purpose text line 69306. What year do you think DMX, Earl Simmons was at his absolute peak of strength.
From the 816, you guys pontificate too much. Nobody wants to hear about Ron being a slob.
Slob? It just some crumbs. But so seriously, well, I mean, we're here in Nashville, and the number one thing.
No, yeah, I got to, you. No,
to
it's disappointing.
Is this?
It's disappointing, but I feel like it has to sting you a little bit more. Just like people born and raised in Kansas City, it has to be. I think disappointing is the perfect word. I think it's got to be disappointing for any lifelong Chiefs fan that, as show laid out perfectly, here we are once again, one of those big moments in the NFL season. All the eyes of the sports world will descend on Nashville tonight, will be about the NFL and the NFL draft, but anytime Kansas City is mentioned, we're only moments away from hearing about what Tyreek Hill allegedly did or didn't do. We're only moments away from hearing about the addition of Frank Clark and the baggage that he brings. Yes, I think it has to be disappointing for any lifelong Chiefs fan for, once again, as the sports world turns its eyes to football, that whatever Kansas City's brought up, there's got to be that negative attachment to Kansas City.
However you feel, like, I throw this out. Like, I'll express my feelings and opinion on it. I think that he should be gone if you believe what you heard yesterday. If you believe what you heard from the district attorney, who said they believe there was a crime that is committed, they just didn't have the conclusive evidence to pinpoint who the crime was committed by. Three people in the home, the child and the two parents. Like, if you believe that, now if you don't, if you think that there may be some things that they're trying to pin on him, then you have a different thought process. But if you believe what you heard yesterday, then from what we remember when Tyreek Hill was drafted, a suspension from the NFL in 8, 4, 6 games shouldn't be enough, because he was on a zero tolerance basis. When he got here from Oklahoma, from wherever he transferred from Oklahoma State from,
right,
after everything that happened and how deep that was, it was understood this was zero tolerance. Zero tolerance. It was a big, big uproar about him coming here. And in less than 3 years, he is involved in this situation. Because, honestly, because I said, if you just boils down to this, if you believe what you heard from the district attorney, if you think that that is true, then he has shown you he is just a bad a person than he was. Because, one, he is either personally the person responsible for neglecting or adding abuse to his three-year-old child, or he is protecting the person who has done it. And that's awful, because there's nothing, nobody that would get in the way to make me protect my three-year-old, my two-year-old daughter, my five-year-old son being injured.
From the 816 in the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line, guys, it's not disappointing. Please shut up. If any of these athletes had a normal job away from the limelight and there were no charges filed, it would be just another day at work, and you guys would be the ones in the break room gossiping about that individual. Look, it's fine if you disagree. If you don't find it disappointing, that's fine. I just know from where I sit, it's never something that you celebrate when it's not your team. I'm not happy when, one of those clowns for the Dallas Cowboys, Greg Hardy, I believe is his name. You know, when I see Greg Hardy getting caught up in awful things or hearing about Ezekiel Elliott. But there is a feeling of, well, man, that's not my squad. Yes, it's all under the umbrella of the NFL. But when you see whether it's the Bengals or the Cowboys or whatever team you want to bring up, there has to, in my opinion, how I feel, I'm glad that's not the squad I root for. But man, lately, the past few years, it does feel like football fans in Miami, football fans in San Francisco, Seattle, and New York, Kansas City's one of those teams now that they look down their noses at. And Kansas City's such a great place, obviously, with great people. It's just, again, in my opinion, disappointing that that's the reflection that some people have of your favorite team.
And that and the cloud of that, of being in this great time, there's, man, my whole life, and you know I'm 34 years old, I have never, ever been a time where the Chiefs have been bigger, have been more exciting. They've got the special player. They've got a guy who you feel like gives you ultimate confidence in the ultimate position. And they just, they're fun to watch, everything about it. This is the best time I've never felt more confident in a team having a chance to win a Super Bowl. But still, the major point and the major talking point through this is this stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it'll come up tonight. If the Chiefs move up in the first round and they're about to make a pick and the guys are sitting around on NFL Network and ESPN and they start talking about needs, it won't take long before, instead of talking about what a great foundation they have, what a great head coach they have, what a great quarterback, they'll just be doing their jobs when they acknowledge the kind of questionable characters that they seem to be collecting.
It's great. We heard Dan speaking about Kyler Murray believing that Kyler Murray is the only Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, as we just had him on, speaking about Kyler Murray as being the only person that he could really see that's maybe ready to go in the system of Cliff Kingsbury. It's funny. Which person, Vern, has the more pressure? Is it the head coach or the quarterback? Because generally it's always the player. In this case, it feels like it might be Cliff Kingsbury. That's next.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
All right, welcome back into Show and Vern as we are live here in Nashville with the best draft coverage in the city. We are on Music Row, Moose Lounge. They're putting us up, coming up here in about 15 minutes. Lynn Jennings from Channel 9, KNBC, will join us in the 1 o'clock hour, and we'll get his perspective of the draft coming up.
So before we get to that Kyler Murray thing, a quick note about Frank Clark, the newest Chief. His contract numbers and the breakdown of it came out yesterday. And boy, oh boy, not only are we excited about what the Chiefs could do tonight, but the Chiefs might not be done this offseason. This season, Frank Clark, who signed a $105 million deal, $63 million guaranteed, he has a cap hit of $5 million this year. Now, next year it's 28, and then in 2021 it's nearly $23 million, but that is a very that is a contract that makes it easier to continue to maneuver this offseason, whether that means signing Chris Jones, going out and front-loading that contract and giving him most of his money in 2019, or going out and whether it's a trade or a free agent, if there are still free agents, they still have plenty of room under the cap because of how they formed this contract for Frank Clark, that they could still do something.
Which is what a lot of people do. Just to give you a sense of the thought, when they lose Barry's contract, and then they lose Justin Houston's contract. Like, how they formed this contract, they could have kept Dee Ford on the franchise tag and signed him. The way they structured the contract, because he's getting under $5 million to go along with the $15 million, they could do that if they wanted to. So just to show you how they could add more pieces from it. Like, the way that you could structure contracts, you could do a lot of things. I think this could be potentially a precursor to Chris Jones and seeing how you can manipulate that. This is what happened with the Rams. They signed Aaron Donald to a $90-plus million deal. It was $1 million to the cap because his signing bonus was huge and it didn't happen to count to the cap. And you can manipulate that. So the two big things is what you talked about is they can add pieces. And then the other thing is it can show you what you can do with a Patrick Mahomes contract coming up in the future, and then Chris Jones as well, is that you're just not shot. Now, in a couple years, their monies will run up against each other. You can't just keep saying, oh, it's going to be five here. At some point, it's got to grow. But early in the cap or somewhere, it's easier to do that. So, yes, they can go and add a corner if they see someone out there. Hell, if they say to themselves, we're going to go for it, and I think Ndamukong Suh is a guy we could put in the middle, they can do that.
No question. Text line still asking about Patrick Peterson. Apparently, there's still rumors and reports that he's going to be moved. I don't know if they have that kind of capital as far as draft capital.
That would be draft stuff, and that would be
right.
That would be both their twos this year, yeah. Or a two and the other two from next year. It would just
Or a first coming up next, something like that. Yeah, I look. To me, I think that would be
Marcus Peters got a 2 and a 4. He would get more than he would be worth more than that.
I think that would be a little reckless if you start just completely punting on this year's draft.
Maybe 2 and 4, maybe because his contract was under $2 million. His contract will be like 11 would be a hit. So maybe the money hurts.
Would you do that this year's second and this year's fourth for Patrick Peterson right now? Because I guess you still got a second.
Yeah.
So we play that hypothetical
game.
Yeah,
sure as hell would. And I'd feel much more comfortable with Frank Clark out there.
I mean, that's a squad. And that's a Pro Bowl
and leadership
squad,
with Patrick Peterson.
And Honey Badger to go along with Chris Jones. Nah, man, that's got to be pie in the sky.
You know, the Rams would do it.
I just don't know if the Cardinals or Patrick Peterson would do it. Nonetheless, we don't need to go down that road.
Yeah, let's
not do
that to ourselves.
You asked a question about Kyler Murray going to the break.
Oh, yeah, the pressure for Kyler.
We're not on TV, Ron. That stuff doesn't play.
What stuff?
I mean, that was funny what you did, but no one can see your facial expression.
I didn't try to do anything.
It's been very vibrant with his hand expression.
This is how I talk. Don't act like I'm out here acting. I just saw
earlier
that.
You said, pull it down, and did that like four times.
I meant it.
Yeah, I appreciate that stuff. That's the good stuff.
Here you go. Just making this about yourself and sweeping in to try to make this work. We had a really good thing going. Real good thing going. Who's got the pressure? Like, to me, generally, it's the quarterback. Like, Kyler Murray. Now, there's pressure with the coach because there's pressure with the coach. But especially a first-year coach, you would think you'd get some leeway. To me, if Kyler Murray, because he is such a unique player to the league in that position, if he doesn't work, Kyler's won. Because to me, you're the number one overall pick. The money he's going to make,
right.
You've won.
No one,
and I think he's going to have endorsement opportunities. You've won, but this is it, right? Like you failed at Texas Tech with serious talent at the important position, at quarterback with Mahomes and Baker. You failed there. Now you're going to come here and fail this quarterback because your system is it. This is why we would go here. Cliff, to me, in an odd way, more than the player, has more pressure on him.
Well, we had Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback now with ESPN, on the show earlier, man. And asked him which quarterback can step into a NFL team right now and start and just go. Because I would think that everyone could benefit from a year on the bench, a year learning. But I wanted to know, who is that guy that, man, you don't worry about that. Just put him under center. Dan Orlovsky said Kyler Murray, but only said Kyler Murray because he was going to Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Because of that combination.
That's amazing.
I don't think I've Peyton Manning had the pressure. Ryan Leaf had the pressure. I don't know if there's ever been a quarterback as tied to his eventual NFL head coach more so than – now, look, I
– maybe Andy and Donovan?
No.
I mean, he got booed off the stage. As soon as they drafted him, everyone thought it was a mistake. They thought they should have gotten Ricky Williams. They were pretty tied together. That's one, potentially. But
yeah, but I still, there's a lot that goes into that with Donovan at that time.
No, yeah, you're right.
No, man. Because, like, Patrick, I was confident that Patrick would work in Kansas. I never saw that coming, 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. But I was confident that Patrick would work in Kansas City because of his head coach.
Because Andy was already established.
But I didn't think that Patrick would suck if he went elsewhere. And what people keep telling me is, if Kyler goes anywhere other than Arizona with Cliff Kingsbury, he's not going to amount to much in the NFL, which is shocking to me.
Well, that doesn't mean you should be a number one pick, which is
that's what I'm saying.
I've said I don't think it's going to work at all. I don't. I am not a fan of him. I would never even think. That's a franchise quarterback at that pick. Like you have gotten, especially when you drafted a quarterback, moved up in the top 10 the previous year.
But show these people in the know. These GMs, these former quarterbacks, they're all in on Kyler plus Cliff equals success. Even though Pat plus Cliff in college didn't equal success.
Or Pat and Baker.
Even Cliff Kingsbury, who said, man, after that rough go at Texas Tech, I should probably just be the OC at USC. And then out of nowhere, he becomes an NFL head coach. So, man, he apparently didn't even think he was ready. And now we're saying he's so ready that he's going to make Kyler Murray the truth on day one. It's amazing that we got to this spot, not only that Kyler's number one, but he's number one just because of an unproven head coach.
Yeah, because if the Giants were up there with Pat Shurmur, oh, maybe that's not the right fit, right? Like, if that is crazy. So, yeah, the pressure, I believe, in an odd way, is more on the head coach than it is on the player.
And like, we'll be there live tonight, live on Radio Row at the NFL Draft, sponsored by our friends at City Rent-A-Truck, online at cityrentatruck.com. Draft gets going at 7. We'll have the Show and Vern Draft Special starting at 6, and then Jay Binkley and the guys from Arrowhead Pride take over at
now,
7.
Now, ultimately, the pressure is on their GM, the guy that looks like the white version of Suge Knight.
Steve Keim?
Yeah. Because he's going to get fired if it doesn't work. Like, he fired a coach after 1 year.
Looks like a giant baby.
No, he's right. He does look like a giant baby. That's the best thing you've said all day, Steve.
For sure.
I don't agree.
For sure, it does. Silky smooth skin, I bet.
Hey, did you know Steve was
just delusional
this
now.
Focused on skin? Like, he moisturizes a lot.
Yeah. Have you felt his hands?
I have soft
Steve
skin.
Has the softest hands in the game.
Yeah, I just thought that was because he was lazy and avoids manual labor at any possible cost. I didn't know he was.
Steve can't even use his palm to check, to do the steak check. If it's rare, medium rare, his hands are just so soft. He just can't even do that. Coming up next, Lynn Jennings of Channel 9, KNBC, will join us coming up next.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.